Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Welcome to part two of our interview about the haunted Marysville house. Yvonne.
So got a recording of a voice. They had asked the question, who are you? Because the people here might like to know who it is that's in their home. They got a voice saying, I'm Jeremy Latimer.
What's interesting about that is it was a video camera that picked that up, but the recorders that were in the room did not.
Right.
And so that was fascinating from a technical sense when you're doing investigations, but it was a very clear voice on the video playback. Very clear.
Of course, the next question is, who is Jeremy Latimer?
Well, he's a person who was born around 1911 in a little town about 10 miles north of where we were living. It's called Mount Victory. It's right on the edge of the county above us. And he died, I believe, in 1948 of a massive heart attack. That's the only Jeremy Latimer I could find. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Now, what we do know about that is that Latimer's married into the family that owned the property,
which was 666.67 acres
in the Virginia Military Survey.
And the Latimers were everywhere in that county up through about 1900 or so, and then they just disappeared.
Yes.
There were no more Latimers. There was obviously the Latimer up in the next county, but in the county we were living in, they'd all disappeared by around 1900. I feel comfortable that's the Jeremy Latimer that they got a voice print of. And we think that his mother probably was married to the individual. We know a Latimer married somebody and lived in that area. On that property. And so we kind of believe he would have been there because his mother
or some family member
for sure, a woman lived there, a married woman.
So after that happened, we had a number of other incidents that were also as dramatic. I am an attorney, and so for part of my time, I was running my law practice out of my home. And even when I had my office somewhere else, I spent a good deal of time working from my home because it was just much more comfortable.
Sure.
So one day I was printing some paperwork. I was getting ready to print some paperwork. I did bankruptcy work. And I was getting ready to print a file, and I went over to go to the printer to get the paperwork off of the printer. We had a roommate at that time because 2008 had happened, and she had lost her job, and we had let her move in with her son with us. And she was not there, and neither was her son. Her son had gone to his father's. She actually was on a mission trip to Guatemala when this happened. So I walk up to the printer to take the paperwork off the printer, and up from behind the printer in that same kitchen area where the 7 foot tall thing had disappeared, she pops up, and she used to dye her hair red. And so, but this thing had, I knew it wasn't her because I knew she was in Guatemala. And I also knew that there was no shade of red that you can buy at Walmart that comes in that color that the hair of this thing was. And it had a sneer on its face that was just totally, I think I dropped the paperwork that was in my hands when this happened, and I backed away. And when I, you know, after a couple of minutes or so, it disappeared. And I thought that was really, really unusual. But I thought, okay, it could be a number of things. This house is just crazy like this anyway. And then another time, I was sitting doing paperwork in my law practice. And my son, who was living 50 miles away at the time, walked out of that hallway and into that same area of the kitchen. And he had, have you ever seen the Twilight Zone, the old Twilight Zone, the episode where the grandfather brings them all in and he gives them masks, and the one kid has like a dullard kind of mask that he puts on?
I have not seen that episode? But I know the show, but I don't know that episode.
Okay. Well, what this thing looked like was my son, but with that face, and he had I knew it wasn't him because it didn't have his life force. So I told Bradley about these incidents. And then a couple of years after the last time I had seen one, I was up in the master bedroom and he was down in the dining room area and he was tying our grandson's shoe. And all of a sudden, and I knew he was going down to do that because our grandson's mom had said, can you put his shoes on him and tie him? So Bradley went down to do that. And all of a sudden, I hear Paul's in the house. Well, Paul was the name of our roommate's son, but he hadn't lived at the house in more than 2 years at that point in time. And I came out of the room and I said, what are you talking about? He said, Paul just walked out of that hallway. And I said, well, see, now you have seen what I had seen. So now we're getting to the point in the house where this is not just me seeing stuff, it's other members of the family who've now seen a lot of stuff. We also had an incident when I was at the house. This time the roommate was there. She was putting some glasses away and she was only about 4'11" maybe.
Uh-huh.
And so she couldn't reach anything in the upper cabinets except the bottom shelf. So she was putting some glasses in there. Two shelves above her, I had some glasses. One of those glasses flew out of the cabinet, flew over her head, and went about 10 feet behind her in the kitchen and landed on the ceramic floor. And I was shocked that it didn't break. And then another instance, my daughter-in-law, we had two refrigerators in the house because at various times we had a number of people living there, so we wanted our own stuff in our own refrigerator. I forgot to tell him about Trigo, but I will do that. Sorry.
You're fine.
Oh, sorry. Phone decided to ring. My daughter-in-law was standing in the kitchen and she was doing dishes, and on the refrigerator behind her was a loaf of bread. And she heard something, so she turned around, and that loaf of bread had flown all the way across the kitchen to the other side of the room and was standing on its end. So you would think if it was going to fall off of the refrigerator, it would have fallen near the refrigerator and on the flat, long flat end, but it didn't. It was standing upright.
Yeah.
And it was actually flat on the refrigerator. It wasn't standing in any way that it should have fallen.
Right. It was flat on the refrigerator, yeah. On top of the refrigerator. We had another incident in October of 2011. And this is probably the saddest one for me because I have a service animal and I had a service animal at that time. His name was Trigo and he was a little poodle. And I was sitting, we were all up in Bradley was in the master bathroom off of the master bedroom. Trigo was at the foot of the bed and I was at the head of the bed and I was doing something for work or something and probably for my practice. But you couldn't see from the position I was in, you couldn't see the doorway from where I was because we had a refrigerator there. This was at the same time when we had a number of people in the house. We still had kids in the house and all of that. And the refrigerator was nearby the doorway. We had a little refrigerator up in our bedroom, basically, for things that we wanted that were up there. We didn't want anybody else touching.
Yeah.
So I couldn't see beyond that refrigerator to the doorway. Trigo from his position could. And Bradley was standing in the at the sinks in the master bathroom. I could see him because he was to the right of the refrigerator. The doorway there was. So I could see him. And Trigo, who was all of 3 pounds, began to bark and growl like he was rabid, like he was Cujo.
Yeah.
And he stood up and I thought, that is really, really funny that he is doing this because he's never done this before. This is so not him. So I looked at Bradley and I said, can you try to see what he's barking at? Why is he reacting that way? So Bradley came between from the master bathroom between the refrigerator and the bedpost. And when he did that, Trigo started whatever he had been doing before was like tripled. He was going crazy and there was slobber coming out of his mouth. And he was like just outrageously upset.
Yeah.
So Bradley, I said, Bradley, why is he doing this? And Bradley turned around. He said, he stopped for a second and I was watching his face. The dog's still going on about this. And Bradley turns back to me and he says, well, the best I can tell you is it looks like a troll just walked down our stairs. The dog could see it. I could not see it from my vantage point, but Bradley could, standing at the end of the bed where the dog was. So do you want to say anything about what the troll looked like?
Yeah, the troll came down from my left, which is the stairs up to the 3-bedroom area over the garage. And it came down, got to my landing. And so I could see the front, and the face was your typical notion of what a troll's face should look like.
Yeah.
And it was big and bulky, but it was all black. Like it was almost a smoky black, and I could sort of see through it. And it came down, passed in front of me, and was going down the stairs to the lower level. And its shoulders were rolled, almost 6 feet across. I mean, his shoulders were out over the banister on either side of the stairway, and it was huge. And I could only see the back of the head kind of folded down at that point as it was going down, but. And it was lumbering, I mean, just like you would expect in terms of, what are those stories out of Europe?
Like
the Grimm Brothers. Yeah, sure. The Grimm Brothers stories.
Like Quasimodo?
Yeah, sure. Like that.
With these things that seem to be going on in the house that are, you know, very bizarre, almost, you know, we're talking about mimicking other people, things flying around, things causing distress for yourself and the animals. I mean, are you thinking this is something dark that was in this house? What's going on in your mind as far as what this is? Or is there multiple things going on?
We think that there were multiple things going on because at the same time that we were seeing these kind of things, and by the way, there's more to that story about Trigo, why it's so sad. We saw like little animals would come, you know, when you'd come out of the living room and cross around the corner where the peeker would be, sometimes you would catch little animals, little black balls that looked like animals running up out of there and running up the stairs up toward the bedrooms and the upstairs. And several times we heard our oldest son come running up the stairs when he was not in the house, up that same set of stairs. One time I had been downstairs letting the dogs out, and when I came back in, I was trying to herd them to where I wanted them to go. We had 5 at that point in time. And I was going across the entranceway to that little set of stairs. And my daughter-in-law was downstairs on the couch down there. And as I crossed that threshold, I saw one of my dogs run across the downstairs. And I said, Pogus, come here. And my daughter-in-law said, Pogus didn't run across here. And I said, I just saw him run across the room down there. And then I turned around and looked at the back door where I had just let the dogs in from, and there was Pogus at the door waiting to come in. So that there was that. One time we had my gym down there at one point in time. And the dog, we saw a big wolf-like kind of thing go across my weight bench, jump across it.
That one was evil. I could feel the evil in that one. And I saw him several times over the time. From that point on, I saw him several times down there. So there was both evil, but yeah. That figure that came out of the wall, that was, if anything, angelic. You know,
it was almost like there
the
was
feeling you got from it.
Almost like there was good and bad kind of battling back and forth. How did it end in the house? How did things come to the end when you moved?
It took us
a year to sell it.
It did take us a year to sell it. And we had a number of issues with that too. Before we get to that, with Trigo, we had a 6 months later, I believe that house was responsible for his death. He died 6 months after that of a very freak accident. He ended up choking on heart guard.
Oh, wow.
But here's the weird part of it. I think that just all of the energy and the events in that house had a hand in this, because 6 days before he died, I had a dream that he was going to die in 6 days. And I got up and I told Bradley about it. And I was working from home that day. And I said, don't put Trigo down with the other dogs, which, you know, they had a special place where they would go where I would work, because I didn't want them to make noise.
Sure.
And I had Bradley leave Trigo with me. And Trigo had about an hour and a half after Bradley left him with me, he had what, and there was nothing wrong with him before this, nothing. He was eating, drinking. There was no sign that he had, that anything had happened, that anything was going on. He was with me, and the first thing I noticed was he didn't want to sit on my lap. And that was very unusual for him, because this was a dog that when I laid down in the bed at night, he would snuggle up in my hair. We were very, very close. This dog, one time on a trip to Florida, came into the shower because he would have rather gotten wet than been outside of the shower where he wasn't with me. So he wasn't sitting on my lap, and he went into what looked like a seizure. So we took him over to the vet. The vet couldn't figure out what was wrong. And the long and short of it is he ended up dying 6 days later, just exactly according to the dream that I had had. And I'm really glad. The one thing I'm really glad of is I did say something to Bradley about that dream so that I had verification of what I was saying.
Sure.
But to answer your question about the end game, I spent a good bit of time doing some repair work during that year. It was empty. And I had several experiences. I had a realtor and a family come in the front door while I was in that little bathroom there. I could hear him come in. I could hear him go upstairs, but it turned out that they never came down. Okay. Cause it wasn't real. And then another time I was in there and I was on the ground floor and I heard a really loud rattling going on as if a bunch of stuff had fallen. And I knew exactly what it would have been. I had some brooms and metal, things for cleaning and doing painting, all kind of stacked in a corner, but it would have been possible for them to fall on their own, I suppose. But I knew that's what it was. But when I went up there, they were standing just like they should. Yeah. So several things like that happened during that year.
We also had, there was no organic material in the house over that year. We weren't eating in the house. There was no food stored there. But when we would go in, it would be like what was described in the Amityville Horror, where there'd be on the back glass doors, hundreds and hundreds of flies just
against
the door.
Ones.
Big, huge flies against the door.
Flies, at least, to call them.
We didn't have any animals there or any nothing organic was in that house. There was no trash. There was no nothing. And we would, while we were there working one night, we were upstairs, all the way upstairs, painting some of the trim, like re-staining some of the trim in the upstairs. And we were laying on the floor, Bradley and I, back to back, talking and staining, and all of a sudden we heard some children laughing, and this is like 11:30 at night. So I got up and I went over to look in the living room where I had heard it from, because the house had a beautiful bridge across the top where you could look over into the living room on one side and the foyer on the other.
28 foot ceilings on either side.
And I looked down and there's no children, no children in there whatsoever. No nothing, no noise, no nothing moving. The house had no furniture in it at that point. It was completely empty.
Yeah.
And another time, I would, all of the long and short of all of this is that it led us to form a paranormal group called Big Country Paranormal. And we had some friends over one night. Bradley had some little finished work to do. We used to go up every couple of months to check on the house while it was for sale. And I brought one of the members of the team up there, and I had told her about the house, and I had told her what had gone on. I had told her about the voices, where you would hear them. If you were upstairs, you would hear them downstairs. If you were downstairs, you would hear them upstairs. And I don't think she really believed me until the night we brought her to the house. We were just sitting there talking, and all of a sudden you could hear a man's voice talking upstairs. And this is around 9:30 at night, and it's the middle of January in Ohio. So it's,
yeah, very cold.
It's very cold. Nobody's out at 9:30 at night in Ohio in January. And you could hear a man talking, and then you could hear a woman answering him. And then I looked at my friend and I said, I told you about this house. And I said, you want to go check out what it is? She said, nope, I'm good.
Yeah.
We ended up going out and, of course, going up there, and there was nothing up there. We sure just did, like before.
We did other do time. One investigation with the team in the house, and you and two guys, experience of the cake, I don't remember the story.
I was up in the master bedroom. This is all the furniture's out of the house at this point. We decided we would allow the team to have an investigation there at the house, since nobody was living there at that point in time. And we're sitting up in the master bedroom, me and two other guys. Everybody else was downstairs. There were no other females in the house except me. And I had been talking about the fact that I should not eat cake before I do investigations, because it always makes my stomach rumble and that ruins the EVPs and stuff like that.
Sure.
And all of a sudden you can hear a female voice say, hey, they're following me. And this is on the tape recorder, and I did not say that. You can hear it talking over me, talking about not eating cake.
Yeah.
So very, very haunted place. And since we left there, it's had three owners since then.
That's my next question.
We left there 4 years ago.
It was going to be after you got, after it was gone. Do you know? I mean, other than the records of it being sold and bought three different times, did you ever hear from anyone about things going on there?
No.
It almost just kind of speaks for itself.
The first couple sold it 10 months after. The next couple, it was a little less than that, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't even think they made it a year.
Yeah. And then the third sale was more like 18 months, I believe. It was over a year. But it's all three turnarounds have been very quick.
Yeah.
And in particular, that first couple is kind of bothersome, because they moved there for him to be an engineer at the Honda plant in his dream. He was a robotics engineer, I believe, and it was a dream job for him. And his dad even came down. His dad was a builder, and they had great plans for how they were going to update the place in certain ways. And the fact that they moved so quickly didn't make a lot of sense. And we know they were in deep debt to buy the house, because he already had some serious problems up in Michigan that he had to deal with monetarily. So I just don't, it didn't feel comfortable that they moved so quickly.
Sure.
For no particular reason we could tell.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Yvonne about the haunted Marysville home. A big thank you to her for sharing her personal story on our program today. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.